Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good, thank you. This is for both analysts. Just in terms of what kind of draft is this? Is it a draft for stars or is it a draft for strength? And what do you see Minnesota looking at according to draft aspects?
I can start if that's all right with Drea. I mean, certainly we have a star coming into this draft, kind of unlike anyone we've seen coming into the draft in terms of popularity and how many people are excited about watching her play in the WNBA and watching on television in terms of Caitlin Clark. But of course, there are some other players that people are really excited about, thinking they can be long-term pros and now potential long-term all-stars in this league. And I think included in that is Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson, Camila Cardoso. This is a little bit more of in the upper tier, a little bit more of a bigs draft in terms of the players I mentioned, Cardoso, Brink, Aaliyah Edwards, Rekia Jackson, if you want to think of her in the realm of bigs, and a little bit thinner when you're looking at really impactful guards, say 1 through 8. In Minnesota specifically, this is a team that could use a stretch four. Will there be a stretch four available at their pick? I don't know, but it's also a team that has done a pretty good job of solidifying their roster with free agency. So in the first round, you could potentially also see a pick there, kind of a deferral pick, an international player that perhaps won't come over and play this year.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. We're going to go next to, Bob Kravitz. Bob, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. For both analysts, how will Caitlin's game translate to the next level and what will some of her biggest challenges be?
Rebecca, you want to go or do you want me to take this one?
Why don't you go first? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Caitlin's game translates immediately just in terms of her range, her ability to hit shots, and her vision. You know, people talk about Caitlin scoring, but her passing is next level. Like when we say next level, she's been a pro passer as well in her game. So when you think about her playing alongside Aaliyah Boston, Nalissa, when you think about her playing with Kelsey Mitchell, like her ability to find her teammates and set them up for success, I think will immediately translate because people will probably defend her like she's a scorer. So her range, her passing, when you watch Caitlin play in college, she makes the right decisions. Like she, you know, you say play the right way. She makes the right reads. She gets the ball where it's supposed to go. So I think that translates. Challenge-wise, I think the physicality of going against grown women is going to be tough. The hits are going to be a little bit harder. The checks are going to be harder. The defense is going to be more physical. And the players will be faster. So just getting everybody that goes from college to the next level talks about the speed of the game. Everything's going to be faster. Everything's going to be tougher. So that, and then defending, you know, I think any star that comes into the game, teams want to challenge them defensively. So I think that when I imagine different guards going against Caitlin, they're going to want to try and take her off the bounce. They're going to want to try and challenge her defense. And so defense and physicality, I think in general could be where she's challenged, but I think her game translates right away.
Thanks, Drea. Rebecca?
You know, I agree with everything that Drea said. I'm really excited to see Caitlin surrounded by the players that are already on the Indiana team because, you know, her vision is next level. And I'm eager to see players around her who can consistently see what she sees and finish what she delivers to them. And I think Caitlin kind of had the perfect complement of players around her at the college level where she could do everything to help them maximize their skill sets. And Kelsey Mitchell is an outstanding catch and shoot. And when it comes to 3-point shots, I'm eager to see Caitlin set her up. I'm eager to see her in a pick and roll with Aaliyah Boston. I'm eager to see Nalissa Smith getting rim runs and getting the ball delivered to her like she never has before. There will be challenges, but at the same time, the talent around her is also going to be better. So I'm excited to see what that looks like in particular on the offensive end of the floor.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We're going to turn next to Cheryl Coward. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi. We've had a few years now of the transfer portal. What are your thoughts on how it's affected the prospect pool and the influx of foreign players, young foreign players who didn't play in the US college system? For both analysts.
I don't know that there's a correlation between the transfer portal and anything that we're seeing in terms of international players. Each team has done a good job for years scouting the international game, and I don't think there's a correlation there in terms of anything. More than the transfer portal, the COVID year has had a really big impact. I think all of the WNBA teams are eager for next year to come, just so that they know which players are going to be available to be drafted. As short as maybe a week or two ago, there are some players who were eligible to be in the draft, but people didn't know because they had not yet declared. So I think the COVID year is a lot more impactful on the draft than the portal.
All right, thanks, Rebecca. We're going next to Dylan Medved. Dylan, go ahead.
Hey everybody, thanks for taking the time to chat. Two questions for me, one for Rebecca, one for Drea. Just curious, how do you think, for Rebecca to start, how do you think this draft class is different on the court, and what impact do you think this draft class will have off the court? Just speaking as like a draft class as a whole, not just like, the top few picks.
I think off the well, they're going to be impactful on the court, especially the players who go to teams where there's situations where they're going to get a lot of chance to play, whether it's Caitlin in Minnesota or if Brink either goes two or three or four to LA or Chicago. Those are players that are going to have a lot of opportunity to play. So they're going, depending on which team you go to and the fit and the minutes that you get, there are players that can have significant impacts on their team. In terms of off the court, I don't know. Caitlin's kind of in a world of her own, but I don't know that we have seen this kind of excitement across the board. Angel Reese has a massive following. Cameron Brink has a large following of people, whether it's following them on social media or following them throughout the course of their college career. We have women coming into the draft this year who people are very much aware of and eager to see how their game is going to translate at this level. And I don't know if we have, even Caitlin aside, because of how NIL has changed things, I don't know that we've ever seen an entire class that has this much attention off the floor that they are also going to bring to their on-court performance here in the W.
Yeah, thank you. And for Drea, going off that, what would you like to see the WNBA as a league do to maybe improve the fan experience for new viewers who are, watching this draft and who know these players in college and know their stories and now are going to watch the WNBA because of them? What would you like to see the league do, to maybe improve the fan experience?
This is the first time we're going to have fans at the draft, so I think that's going to be special, like for people watching at home to see and hear a crowd and fans and people there are I think will be really exciting. And then for the league in general, I mean throughout the season, just sharing stories, pushing stories, especially for some of these rookies, a lot of things should be put out about their experience in the league. So that they can speak to the fans and encourage fans to come. Or, like there are a lot of people, like Rebecca said, that are really connected to these rookies. And so the league can use that to show these fans what the W is all about and what makes it special. Hearing from the rookies is going to be, I think, pivotal in as far as getting some of those fans to buy in to how hard this league is, how great this league is, how fun it is, and just their experience as a whole. I think the more we can put out about them and their teams and the veterans on their teams and the challenges of the W through the rookies could really help because, like Rebecca said, these rookies have huge followings. So we want those followings to buy into how special the WNBA is. And a lot of these rookies are really excited to play in the WNBA for that very reason. So using that, I think would be cool. First time, I think, is the first time in a while. We had fans We had fans a while back, but first time in a while that we've had fans at the draft. So I think that coupled with this class coming in, these rookies coming in, I think will be exciting.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dylan, Drea, and Rebecca. Everybody, we're going to try to limit the questions to one and limit follow-ups. Understand, please. We have 120-something people on here, and we're trying a lot of people with raised hands. We want to get to as many as possible of your colleagues. We're going to go next to Chapel in South Carolina. Chapel, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Ron. I appreciate it. Dre, Rebecca, thanks both of y'all for taking the time. Question for both of y'all, if you could just evaluate Camila Cardoso as a prospect and in this NCAA tournament, did she do enough to elevate herself to a potential number three overall pick, number two overall pick? How much did she kind of increase her stock with what she did over this last month?
Go ahead, Rebecca.
I think Camila is in the conversation for number two. I think especially how she performed over the last month of the season. She was dominant. And a lot of people have been talking about, her ability to run the floor as a 6'7" post player and her relentlessness in doing it in every single possession. And when she demands the basketball, which she did every possession over the course of the last month of the season, she just has to demand extra attention inside. And she's very good at passing out of double teams. She can be a, she's a very good rim protector on the interior. So I think especially the effort with which she played again over the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season really opened a lot of people's eyes. And before that, was she going to be a lottery pick? Most likely, yes. But certainly solidified her position in the top four and potentially in the top two or three.
All right, thanks, Rebecca. We're going to turn to Akeem. Akeem, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Just had to get myself off of mute. But hopefully you've been doing good, and hopefully everybody here is doing good and as well as in good health. I just wanted to ask, a little bit about the venue. With there's being so much growth, with women's basketball and the fact that this will be, the first draft in a while, with fans. I just wanted to get your thoughts as far as, would you, how would you feel about if in the future the WNBA decided to maybe, take the draft on the road the way we've seen with other leagues?
Sarah, if you're still on, do you want to take that one, Sarah?
Yes, I am here. I think, as Drea noted, it is really exciting to have fans in the crowd this season. I think we'll sort of see, I do believe it was done in a smaller scale in previous years, but not for a while here now. So I think it'll be amazing to see what it's like and what that feel and what that vibe and what that energy is like on Monday night. I think, yes, as the sport continues to grow, we have to be realistic about how the draft can grow with it. I don't want to speak for my league counterparts and what their vision is for that, but from a production ESPN standpoint, we're certainly here to provide the best product and that will be most entertaining and most enjoyable for the fans, but also for the draftees that are there and for all the people that want to participate and partake in that moment. So I think we have to be reasonable to look at the growth and really assess what's the best thing to do.
Thanks. We're going to turn to the M's. We're going to go to Miriam and then Maggie Benoni. Miriam Swanson, go ahead.
Hello, ladies. Thanks for doing this and congrats on a great job all tournament. Question for you guys is sort of about the investment that some teams are making in infrastructure and in building state-of-the-art facilities. And what do you think that will mean for the ongoing invest or evolution of the league and also for the development of some of these players?
I think it's special. I think it's what every team deserves. It's what every player in this league deserves. I mean, the W, we have the best players in the world, and they deserve the best facilities. I got an email here recently that did like a video of Phoenix's new facility, and it was kind of like a fly, almost like a drone through the facility, and it looked beautiful. And all I could think about was that's what these players deserve. You know, and as someone that covers the NBA and have been to different NBA venues all season and seeing their facilities, and, you know, when you want to take care of your body, when you want to be at your best, when you want to play your best, especially with a packed schedule like the WNBA has, facilities and access, those things are important. And so I think that as we see the facilities and the investment in that area increase, we'll also see performances increase. We'll see the players that like need to be taken care of. So I think it's great. I think it's time, and I'm excited for the players because their health, their wellness, and them feeling like a priority and having those opportunities to have great facilities, I think is really important. And now that some teams have done it, other teams won't have a choice but to do so, because when it comes to free agency or deciding which team you want to go to down the road, facilities are going to be a top priority. So I think that we'll see it across the league at some point, which is good.
I'm just going to add something quickly there, and exactly to Drea's point. It becomes a huge advantage in free agency for the teams that have the higher level facilities. And I think it's also important with the prioritization rules and more players staying domestically instead of going overseas, they will, instead of just using the facility during the duration of the season, you know, May through October, it's something that they will want to have access to year round. And so it becomes even more important.
All right, thanks. We're going to turn next to Maggie and then Cora. Maggie.
This is for either of you guys, but how do you see Aaliyah Edwards and Nika Mule? Are they ready for the pro next level? Where do you see that in them? And particularly with Nika, how do you think her draft stock was impacted by her performance on Caitlin Clark in defense in the Final Four?
I can start there. UConn players are always ready for the WNBA. That's just a mere fact. I mean, you look at Crystal Dangerfield a couple of years ago, a second round pick, and she ends up Rookie of the Year. Dorca Juhas last year, I don't think people expected her to have the kind of rookie campaign that she had. And you hear that continuously when you talk to coaches and GMs who are considering UConn prospects. They know that there's a certain standard there and there's a professionalism that they're going to get from these young women. In terms of Nika specifically, I had one person say to me they've never seen somebody's draft stock rise so much because of one performance and a loss. So I think, you know, people were certainly aware of Nika Mule, have watched her play. But her performance in the tournament, I think both on Caitlin Clark defensively and on De'Asia Fair defensively, showed people that how impactful she can be on the defensive end as a guard in the WNBA. So, I think it was huge for her to have that kind of performance on that stage.